episode is brought to you by Fifth and Main. Actually, it's brought to you by Curio by Fifth and Main. Have you heard of this amazing online store? Well, get ready to fall in love. In fact, Curio by Fifth and Main.com is the website, and Curio by Fifth and Main has done our really adorable nursery wallpaper with all these blue dinosaurs that Schman is getting ready to install. They ship nationwide, they're ethically sourced, eco-friendly, and they have little luxuries in all price points. It's also a women-owned business, and you need to go to their website today. I get lost on Heather's website, on Curio by Fifth and Main.com. I get lost on the website because there's so many cute gift items that you can get, like luxury products for your home, your body, the planet, so much more. And they're all made in small batches. That's what I really love about the wallpaper. Also, if you want to reach out to Heather directly from her website, she works with an amazing wallpaper artist. And the best is it's stick and peel. So it's not the old days when you used to like watch your mom try to frantically wallpaper. Nope. This is very heavy duty, high quality. Once you put it on the wall, it stays. Visit today and check out the amazing website, Curio by fifthandmain.com, and start shopping eco-friendly. All right, you guys, special guest today, comedian Jared Fried. You have probably seen him. He's hysterical. Lives out of New York City, but he performs actually in the DC area and, you know, nationwide. He's also known for his Rose rehashes, like all his recaps about The Bachelor. And as it just so happens, you guys know that for the first time because of COVID and quarantine, I'm watching The Bachelor. I'm addicted. So Jared, and not only that, but you need to put March 2nd on your calendar. Jared is dropping on his YouTube page. You can just search Jared Fried. He is dropping his YouTube special all about quarantine. It was taped on New Year's Eve, and he's super funny. He also hosts multiple podcasts. So You Up Pod with our girls from Betches, and then J Train Podcast, which is all about relationships. And if you guys are following my Instagram at The Sarah Fraser Show, you know that Schman has purchased a watch for me that I absolutely hate. I know. And I'm such a bitch of a wife. And it's fine. You can write that because people are like, return it already and get over yourself. I know. Look, I understand. Okay. I knew when I put this out that I was a major C word. All right. It's fine. But here's the thing. I felt like a lot of women could identify with this because we love our partners, but the reality is not all of them are good gift givers. And for some reason, Schman goes in my closet, right? Okay, you guys know me. I'm an eclectic one, you know? I've got like a powder blue baby faux fur jacket, you know, full length to the floor, all right? I've got like my $2,500 Louis Vuitton luggage that I carry. You know, I'm an eclectic gal. I like expensive things. I like not expensive things. Somehow he goes in my closet. Instead of seeing like a Michael Kors watch, right? I have a couple of those that I really like, mixing and matching. He somehow logs onto QVC and he shops the entire QVC like catalog, right? Online. Except for it's not the Lisa Rinna edition or Juliana Rancic. It's somehow some watch from Geneva that no one can pronounce. I call it my, oh my God, what are they called? I have complete pregnancy brain. Oh, churros. Okay, there we go. I call it my churro watch because it's just, I can't even, it's Caroli. I even had some woman write to me. She was very upset. She's like, in my country, this is a status symbol. I'm sure it is. I'm sure in most of the world it is, but I'm a bitch. So what do you want me to do? Okay, that's who I am. So I asked Jared about it. I said, because Jared has a show on relationship advice. I said to him, what do you think? Do I need to tell him I hate this watch? Yes or no? So Jared gives me all that advice. Just my mom calling, of course. I knew I needed to put the phone on silent, but do I do it? No. So anyhow, Jared, you need to check out everything he's doing. He's terrific online. He's very, very funny. And because I'm obsessed with The Bachelor, now I've become a big fan of following him and watching his recaps. So today he talks about how he went from insurance to becoming a full-time stand-up comedian. The Bachelor, of course, all the controversy this season. What's his take on Chris Harrison? Does Chris Harrison need to go away or does he need to stay? Is he synonymous with Bachelor Nation? So we talk all about that and also walking the political line when you are a comedian. How do you balance that? So here is comedian Jared Fried. I was saying, I've known about you and followed you for years, but I really became a fan this year because I actually finally watched The Fucking Bachelor. So when I see your Bachelor recaps, I know what you're talking about.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm happy that the Bachelor, we got you in. ABC is proud of me, and they're proud of me for no money at all. They don't even acknowledge me as a human, but I'm happy I can extend the Bachelor Nation for them.
Have they really not? Because I was thinking, you know, you would be a great Chris Harrison replacement.
I'm very, my heart is warmed by that. I take that as a full compliment. I would do anything to host The Bachelor. I think it's the most interesting show. I think it could be so much more fun than it already is. I would love to have a hand in it. I think what's going on this season is, you know, necessary. It's hard to, these are difficult conversations, much like the last year has been difficult. I thought Chris Harrison handled that interview horribly. I thought he looked bad. I think taking a step away is the best thing he could do. And I think a lot of the conversation goes into like a very difficult place. But for me, I'm like, yeah, I'll be the host of the I would love to be the host of The Bachelor. I'd have it so I'd make the, you know, I would make The Bachelor have to pay for all the dates. Like I would be him in the cheapest Uber taking you to like a Chili's. Like I want like I a lot of the conversation now, like, listen, we're trying to figure it out, we're trying to make the show better, but I want it to be more fun than it is. I want like they just did hometowns. Why aren't the mom and dad jumping out of the plane with them? Why aren't, you know, I want to see like the parents on the picnic at the pre-date. So I there's a lot of ideas I have that I want to add to the show. Let's have the final two, instead of a fantasy suite, they have to assemble an IKEA couch together. Let's watch that.
Yeah, like real life stuff. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, and by the way, for the hometowns, I agree with you. Wasn't it annoying? Every parent had the same question. Like, well, you're dating four people. How can you love my... It's like, don't the producers say, all right, look, everybody's asked that question. Start with something else, right? I mean, that was annoying.
Well, I think it also has to do with, like, if we're going to get into Bachelor, you know, opinions, my opinion is that Matt James, like, I don't think he understands the gravity of meeting a woman's parents. Like, it feels like he has said he's only been in a relationship that's been as long as 4 months. I think he might be 6 weeks into it with these women, but it ain't 6 weeks when you bring the parents along. And you're talking about engagements, and I don't know. So it does feel like they're just like, hey, so what do you feel about my daughter? And he gives a lot of very top-line answers. So it's like, I agree with you. There's got to be more in-depth questions, but I don't know. I guess that, to me, that happens when you're more comfortable around one another. You get to know one another. Maybe if they spent the whole day together instead of just one cocktail, it'd be better.
I know. And okay, obviously you talk a lot of relationships on your J Train podcast, you know, just in general. Do you think it's a red flag that Matt James, because how old is he, Jared? Is he 28?
He's 29. I think he's 29, but maybe 28. You might be right. I don't know. But around that age.
Okay. Do you think it's a red flag that his longest relationship was 4 months prior to the show?
I don't think it's a red flag. I think, you know, especially with the state of dating in 2021, where it's a lot of like non-relationship relationships, a lot of not labeling, a lot of we're exclusive, but not together, a lot of like different labels that have come up just by people trying to like not, you know, dig into, a serious thing. Like it makes sense. I'm not saying he's not strange. If you haven't been in a relationship at 29, that's longer than 4 months. It's not a weird thing in this day and age. I would say the red flag comes when he's not taking it seriously. And I don't think he's not taking these relationships seriously. I think he cares about these people and their time. But I think the thing that's missing from this season of The Bachelor is when you've been on the show before, you get to the finish line. It's usually someone that's gotten to the end-ish. So they are like, oh, That's what we're moving towards, especially men. Men love wasting time. You know, someone was like, he seems like a New York City fuckboy. And I was like, I don't think he seems like a New York City fuckboy. I think he seems like a New York City no rush. He's a no rush. He's a no hurry to get into a relationship. There is no social negativity that comes with, hey, it just didn't work out, like it does sometimes for a woman. That's not fair. That's not great. But that's societally, a woman brings a guy home to her parents, it's a much more serious, like,
yeah.
So how do you think about my daughter? Like, I bring my girlfriend home. My dad's like, nice, cool, she's cute. Like, it's not, you know, it's yeah, not just like... The social stuff is just different. So I think when you have been on the show before and you get dumped in the final 3, 2, 4, whatever it might be, you now get whatever amount of time it takes for the bachelor startup. You go, do I want to be engaged? Oh, that's what a breakup feels like. Oh, I don't think Matt James has ever dealt with. If it's 4 months, it's as long as I don't think he's ever done a breakup. I don't think he's ever seen someone go, has someone say, you're not my person, like it did last week. I don't think he's ever had someone look at him and go, let's be together, let's move in, and him be like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't move in. You know, like, I think these are things that, like, if you're not sure, if you've never done them before, some people can go straight up the dating mountain, and get to the peak of engagement, no problem. But I'm saying for a lot of people in this day and age where, you know, these relationships are the dating apps, the multiple options. This guy's going to have a Instagram account that's going to be full of 500,000, you know, women. I don't think he understands the severity of the situation that he's in.
Of what he's in for. By the way, wasn't the tantric yoga date for Serena P, don't you feel like that was the moment she was out? I mean, you know, to me, like she was so done. And the dates as a new Bachelor fan are so random. Sometimes the producers are like shutting down a whole carnival. And then the next thing you know, they're like you said, they're in Canada rolling out some nasty pontoon or whatever. I mean, it's like, where is the dates are so erratic.
Well, it's funny that you're getting in like during a quarantine version of The Bachelor. Usually they're traveling places. They're going to like all around the world. Part of the show is to be given a tour of the world a little bit, to see vacation spots. It's a whole, there's a whole other element that we're missing because they're in one location the whole time. So the producers are showing how their lack of creativity with these dates. They're like, it's like, yeah, rub against each other while a yoga teacher in ayahuasca stares at you. Like, it's like kind of, you're like, okay, shouldn't you do something else? Like, it feels like there's more creativity that could be had. But the yoga date to me, again, and I know I sound like I'm coming down. My job, or the job I've given myself.
I love it. Self-proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed is when I look at the show, I'm looking at the people, the small moments. 30 women dating one man is a stupid show. A man and a woman going on a tantric yoga date and him not getting the vibe that this person is uncomfortable. Now we have an interesting subject. Now we have something to talk about. How is it that Matt James didn't say, hey, let's just do something else? He's the leader of this show. And I understand he's never been on the show, but when you're the Bachelor, when you're the Bachelorette, you get to lead. You can make it your show. So at no point did he say, yeah, let's just say, we'll just have drinks. We'll hang out. Like, forget it. Like, and it kind of shows you that he is a part of all the drama that's going on in the beginning of the season. He was blissfully unaware of every moment that these women were at each other's throats. He could have stepped in earlier. He didn't need Katie coming up to him. And then he was unaware when she's sitting there being like, I am massively uncomfortable. And then after she tells him she's uncomfortable, they go on the dinner date and he's like, so did you think I was going to fall on you? It's like, dude.
She hated it.
It's over. She hated it. You know?
No, like, he keeps bringing. You're right. He's really terrible at reading the room. He's really bad.
I think that also comes when you're like a gorgeous alpha, like, I don't think, and you're like an energetic dude, which he does come off as being. He comes off as being like, I want to be the guy doing the demo during gym class. Like, gym teacher's like, can anyone come help show me how to play dodgeball? He's like, me, me. And he jumps up. Like, he's that guy. And when you're it so is. And when you're that guy, you're like genuinely a good guy. You genuinely don't mean it, but you might not have the thing that I have. I always I like to think that I have, that I'm thinking of who's the most uncomfortable in the room, not the person who's the most comfortable in the room. And that comes with like feeling uncomfortable yourself. Maybe he's never really felt that uncomfortable.
You are so right about that. There is something, you know, nerdy and yet overachiever about him. And yeah, there is a disconnect with him. And I think you really put your finger on it. That is it.
It's tough. And again, I'm Monday morning quarterbacking. This isn't to say he's a bad person. I'm just saying when you watch this show with a critical eye, like I love talking about dating relationships. I love the subject. It's easier to be critical than it is to be in it yourself. So it
totally.
I give advice on the podcast all the time. Advice is easy to give. It's really hard to take. So I say this with empathy for Matt. I think he's going to be fine. I'm not worried about him. I say this just as a critical watcher of the show. It just seems like you have one guy that is like last episode, he looked at one of the women, I think it was Rachel or someone, and she was like, you know, they're kind of talking about like, are you falling in love? He's like, she's like asking about the future. And he's like, just have fun. It's like, this isn't fun for any of these women. This is business. Like, it's fun for you because you're about to go to the fantasy suites with three beautiful women. But all these women are like, no, I'm not here for fun. I'm here for business. I'm here to walk away with a ring. I'm here to walk away looking at the brunch table being like, that's right. The date, you know, get your bridesmaids' dresses ready. Hurry up. Get fitted. Yeah. I need to be the queen.
And they're emotionally tortured by it. So you're right. I mean, just have fun. The tears, the emotions, the bullying they've been through. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Absolutely. And okay. He's like, have fun. It's like, what? I've just embarrassed myself with 30 other women. What are you talking about? Have fun. You know?
I have two more Bachelor questions, and I want to talk about your career. Sure. You have an amazing comedian career as well. The rumor is, obviously, everything that's happened with Chris Harrison, now we know everything that's come out with Rachel, right? So the rumor is that Matt just made a statement this week that those two end up together. So if that is the scenario, do you think they survive these scandals? I debate this with my husband all the time because it sounded like with the Matt James post this week, a lot of people in his comments go, okay, way to break up without like saying you're broken up. So what do you think about this whole thing? Could they survive?
If you go read the statement, I think there's like, people are like, why hasn't he said anything yet? When will he say something? You're living in a world, there's three sides to this. It's what you can say, it's what you can't say, and it's what you want to say. So because of contracts with ABC and The Bachelor, he can't come out and be like, hey, here's what's going on. He can't, and that sucks for him. He can say, hey, there's a lot of rumors, there's a lot of things I want to say, he has to say how horrible the things that have come to light are.
Sure.
And how Chris Harrison disappointed me. He has to say those things. And this is a social media world. We all have our little PR campaign we're doing. Whether you have 200 followers or 200,000, you have an audience. You have to answer that audience. And you may think, well, I have no follow. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're engaged to someone and your wedding breaks up, and you're just a school teacher, there's people that are going to have questions and you're going to feel the need to explain yourself to. So in the same fashion, Matt has to make a statement because the story has gotten bigger than the show.
Yep.
And he can't do it in a way that he probably wants to, which is to go, this is fucked up. I'm dating someone that I didn't know their history. But I would say in defense of him, all of us don't have someone checking every single social media post of the people we're about to date. Like, you know, if Matt and Rachel had met off the show, I don't think, you know, without the show existing, he wouldn't have known these things.
He may never or he might have known it, right? But maybe it wouldn't have been as big of a deal. You know, maybe, who knows, right? Or maybe she would have said, oh, it was 5 years ago and I've changed. Who knows, right?
Listen, it's the world we live in. I'm not saying anyone's you know, feelings are disregarded, but like you have to say like, hey, you know, he has to sit there and answer to people now where he didn't have to answer to people, like, you know, answer to his peers, answer to his friends who are like, aren't you mad about this? And he's like, and he has to go, yeah, yeah. In another time, in another world, he might not have someone going, what do you, you know, it's just, you're not put face to face. That's why we're going through, you know, 2020 had all those conversations that have been difficult that we never had to, because you're put face to face. And that's a good thing, you know? So it's all very interesting. And that's why I love The Bachelor too, because again, so many of the things that happen on The Bachelor do relate to the world around us, except it's in this little vessel of a stupid dating show where 30 women date one man.
That is such a great way to sum it up, because it's, and of course, you know, the pressure on him as the first Black Bachelor, like, of course this would happen for the first Black Bachelor. So then he's got all that, you know, obviously the rumor is on a lot of blogs, he picks this white woman. I mean, there's so many layers to it, right? So I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like these last couple episodes have been a little bit uninteresting. Yeah. I mean, the next few are going to be, like, just, you know, it could be game changers for the whole show. I'm excited to see what happens more than anything. And again, this show has always been about The Bachelor, the women on the show, and the audience, how the audience relates to the show. Because one thing you'll find is, and it's very interesting, there are some bachelors, there are some bachelorettes that the audience loves, defends, doesn't care anything in the world, they can do no wrong. And there's also some that people are like, screw that person, I don't buy it. And they do as a group. And that's kind of the, like, if you look at Claire from her season, Claire doesn't have a lot of defenders that are out there. It's very interesting. And that's why the show's just a nice little bubble to kind of chew on a little bit.
It's like, I'm the only one that is Team Queen Victoria. You know, I'm the only one that seems to be like, I want more Queen Victoria. And I find myself DMing her, and she'll DM me back all the time. And I'm like,
really?
Well, of course she will. I mean, no one else is DMing that woman. Everyone hates her. So it's like, she corresponds with me all the time about how she can't come on my show.
I would argue that she's getting DMs, but they're not as nice as you.
I'm like, girl, I fucking love your attitude. Like, I love, you brought so much great drama. Best way to support this show is, of course, to support our sponsors. And Rothy's is one of them. Guys, Rothy's has been a longtime sponsor of this show because y'all are obsessed with bags and shoes. I love Rothy's. Very comfortable. Just ordered the tie-dye slip-on flats, as I've told you guys, and I love them. Rothy's is ethically sourced as well. They've turned millions of plastic bottles into beautiful handbags and shoes that you can wear and enjoy. Rothy's, not only that, but they're constantly in the news, in Vogue, and in major publications for how comfortable their shoes are. The best part is you can wear them without socks, and then when they get dirty, throw them in the wash. Boom! They're amazing. Another major bonus, Rothy's are, as I mentioned, fully machine washed, but they own and operate their manufacturing workshops where they prioritize sustainability every step of the way. So you know that what you're buying is going to a good cause and that who's making it is also getting paid well and treated well. Check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/Frasch. That's Rothy's, Rothys.com/Frasch. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/Frasch today. Okay, and by the way, what is the show tonight where they bring all the women back called?
The Women Tell All. They basically bring them back to hash out their differences. We've seen the Women Tell All at this point because there's been so much female drama on the show this season that we've kind of seen what that will turn into, but it's going to be the, you know, hey, basically hash out your differences that you had already after you've watched the show.
Oh, okay. I'm so excited for this because I love that Queen Victoria is back. All right, Jared, I want to talk about your career because you're a very successful stand-up comedian. You're very funny. And I love that you'll openly say in interviews, you know, you kind of straddle that line of like what we were talking about with The Bachelor we're in this crazy, hypersensitive society. So how do you do that as a comedian? I mean, I give you so much credit. Are you freaking out? Like, I would go to the stage and think, oh, shit, like, everything I think is offensive. What the fuck am I going to say tonight?
Well, the thing is, I don't really believe in the anyone can feel however they want to feel. I think that's totally fine. I think the problem becomes as a, I feel most comfortable on stage, actually, if I'm gonna
really
be totally honest, because when you're on stage, you can feel the temperature of the room. You can hear a joke bomb. You know, the problem with the internet sometimes is that one person's upset and morally they are right. But the people that, you know.
Hero Breads. Oh my gosh. Chef's kiss. Do you love carbs? I'm obsessed. Give me a croissant. Give me a tortilla, baby, every day, slathered with some hummus. Yes, please. And then a lot of veggies, a little turkey burger in it. Okay. That's my own proprietary sandwich. Thanks. Hero Breads right now offering 10% off. Go to hero.co. Enter the promo code TSFS. You are getting 10% off. Now, Hero Bread is so delicious and flavorful, soft, fluffy. In fact, so fluffy that KJ loves it, slathered with butter and cinnamon every day. They're known for their products to have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber. So what are you waiting for? Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code TSFS at checkout. That's TSFS at hero.co. Are you trying to lose weight and keep it off for good? If you were like me, I have done every fad diet under the sun, and I started dieting when I was just 12 years old. I gained and lost 150 pounds from the ages of 12 to 28 when I finally got off the yo-yo dieting train. Well, if I had known of Dr. Applin and MyOptimalBody.com, my life would have been a lot easier, and I would have resolved my weight issues without doing drugs like Ozempic. Fine if you're on them, but if they're not working for you or you don't want to try them, MyOptimalBody.com has incredible success rates. Go to their website, check out their reviews, and see people who have had lasting weight loss change. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment. Be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment plus a free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for their customized plan. Again, that's MyOptimalBody.com. To request an appointment. Go there now and let me know what you think. Are you trying to conceive? Have you tried a lot of things, don't know a reliable supplement to take? Well, I'm introducing you to EU Natural. It's spelled EU Natural. They're on Amazon, and they have a conception for her formula and a conception for him, which, by the way, has over 23,000 five-star reviews on Amazon, and now I'm taking it. Very easy to take because, you know, sometimes multivitamins are tough. Well, this one is awesome, has a great vanilla flavor. I take it with food. And right now, when you go to Amazon and you buy any EU Natural product or their bundle, put in the code FRASER20, get 20% off. I'm so excited for you guys to be on this journey with me to conceive, and this can give you the extra boost that you need. So order right now. Check out EU Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 to get 20% off their conception bundle or your entire order. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off the conception bundle with the promo code FRASER, FRASER20, FRASER20. How ironic! I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of, are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller driven. You know, I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcasts, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy.
That genuinely laughed at your joke, you don't hear them. So it would be, you know, I'm putting out a stand-up special, and it's going to be on YouTube, and it's called Socially Distanced, of course, and it was taped on New Year's Eve and of 2020. So the last day of the worst year of most of our lives. And the whole special, I do jokes about my weight. I do jokes about dating. I do jokes about The Bachelor. I didn't do any of that for this. All of this material is about 2020. It's all about the social anxieties of 2020 and exactly what you're talking about. I don't believe that any comedian goes on stage to not get a laugh, to make a point. You're getting on stage to make get a laugh, and hopefully that laugh produces the point you'd like to make. It's that, it's one before the other. So if I say something on stage that is getting no laugh, I'm not going to keep doing it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it work so that the laugh comes. So the idea that I'm going on stage like afraid of people saying, no, I'm not saying anything that I don't believe. I'm not saying anything to shock anyone. I'm saying something that I think a portion of the population is feeling. So with 2020, you know, a part of that is, you know, this social anxiety of like, I want to keep trying. I want to keep living my life. But I don't want to offend anyone. I want to be respectful. I don't want to get anyone sick. I'm putting on the mask, but it's, and then I take a picture with friends. People are like, oh, you guys went out today. And it's like, do I have to be subservient to that person? Do I go out and try my best to be as safe as possible while also, and it lands in this nuanced context that the people online don't want to live by. They want to say, oh, you went out, you're killing a grandma. That is an easy thing to say. And in this 2020 reality that we live in, they're right. They are absolutely right. Morally, they're on the top of Moral Mountain. But life doesn't work that way. Life doesn't go that way. Life goes with people being respectful, putting on the mask, keeping their distance, while also trying to go to work, while also trying to feed their kids, while also trying to stay mentally well.
Mentally well.
Yeah, and it's funny to me that the people that will scream at you about mental health will also be the one to go, where's your mask? And it's like, why don't you talk to your dad that you disagree with? Why don't you talk to your cousin? You can find a family member you disagree with that isn't a random person online. And that's the stand-up special. So I don't adhere to the idea that, like, what I'm saying is such evil garbage. I'm going up to make a laugh. And I'm going up to get a laugh and to also speak to a group of people that I think is a very large group of people that I feel, and I think we get bogged down in right and left of every issue, not just politics, just right and left of every issue.
Everything.
And I think my biggest issue is that I have, you know, the people that I'm like, the people that I make jokes for are usually the ones silently giving a thumbs up in the corner. They're not the ones being like protecting me. So that's the bigger problem. So I have to have thick skin and understand that, like, listen, it's not, you know, some jokes aren't for everybody and that's okay. But I do believe that I'm putting out a special that I'm proud of that says something that lands in the land of, like, you know, people that, you know, just understand context and nuance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, and I'd actually read and that you had started in insurance, that you were like working in insurance. You would email your friends jokes and they sort of said, okay, this is really funny. You should pursue this. And that's how you got going.
No. You're not to disagree with you. You're close. No friend of mine told me to do stand-up. No friend of mine.
Actually, those are good friends because it's a rough road.
I would never tell someone to do comedy. I would never. I would let them get to that conclusion on their own. I used to sell life insurance. I spent most of my day, like, I'm 36, so around the time that I like got out of college was like the group email phase of communication where you're on a group email, what are we doing this weekend? And then everyone ball busts on the group email. When I would send an email that, like, that, you know, remember people would like go off email to just you?
Yes.
You know, and they would go off the group and go, hey, that was so funny. Oh, an email that I wrote. That was the best feeling I had in the day. So I was like, okay, how do I inject that feeling into my veins every day while making a living? That's my goal. Be funny for money. So that is a broad goal. That's a broad goal. And again, but that also should tell you everything you need to know about when you watch a stand-up comedian. Their broad goal is to go up on stage and kill, have the whole room laughing. So the idea, So I understand when people are like, wow, that really hurt my feelings. Well, that wasn't the intent. I would say there's never a comedian that goes on stage intending to hurt one person in the room's feelings. I could talk to anyone about any joke I make and have a great conversation. So it's the same thing for these emails I was writing when people would tell me if that they laughed at their desk alone. Oh my God. I was like, how do I do that again and again? So then I started doing open mics. I started taking classes. I took sketch writing. I did every type of comedy to try and build a tool chest of things. And that's why I do so many different things. Like when I yell at The Bachelor, that's just improv. Like that is just an improv class. That is just me yes-anding what's going on in the show, taking whatever's funny on screen and making it funny again. So it's all of the, again, I've been, when I pursued doing comedy, it was about learning how to be funny and not thinking that I was the funniest person in the room. I have made that mistake. I have thought I was the funniest person in the room. I'm usually wrong. But anytime I've been better at comedy, it's because I was trying to learn how to get better at it.
And do people tell you, to me, you sound like Jerry Seinfeld? Do you get that?
Oh, but that's the nicest compliment in the world. I can only hope I can have a garage full of cars in New York City.
Your voice sounds just like Jerry. I'm like, oh my God, which is hard to do. You don't see many people sounding like Jerry Seinfeld because it's a unique sound.
Yeah, he's got quite a cadence, but I appreciate it. Any comparison to someone that I respect so much, I'll take and be very happy to have.
Okay, one of the other things that people know you for is relationship advice. You obviously are an expert on dating apps.
Not an expert.
Okay.
I would never call myself an expert. Nobody, if someone says they're a dating expert, they're trying to sell you something that you don't need to buy. I would say I am a person with a loud opinion on dating. I scream at everything, so I'm obviously loud, as you can hear right now. But I have an opinion on dating that I hope is about being honest and also about owning that I've been the person that you hate the most right now. I've been that person. I've been the guy that dumped you. I've been the guy you met on a dating app. I've been the guy that you've dumped. I've been your brother. I've been your cousin. I've been the 2 month boyfriend. I've been those guys. So whenever I talk about dating, I come from that every question with that perspective, while also understanding that people, this is a hard thing for a lot of people. Some people find dating not funny at all. They consider it a job. So I try to have as much empathy as possible for that perspective as well. And, you know, it's really about just and also to me, there's no such thing as a stupid dating question. There's no situation that's too small. And I think in 2021, a lot of people are going, oh, there's bigger problems in the world. No, there isn't.
No.
I'll talk to you about why you didn't text back. Yeah. Anytime.
Oh, I mean, there's endless topics. And this has been such a rough year, 2020, for dating. I mean, what is some of the biggest things like you tell people that have quarantine dating that are trying to do it over Zoom? I mean, is it even possible to kind of start a connection with someone over Zoom?
It's absolutely possible. You just have, I think dating has to have two people at the negotiation table at all time. So what does that mean? It means like you got to be, you got to have someone working with you. You know, not everyone's a perfect match. And it's like, hey, let's do a Zoom date. I don't do Zoom dates. Goodbye. They might have had a nice profile. They might have been good looking. You might have thought, wow, they could be someone I would have been at a bar mitzvah with. Doesn't matter. They're not at the negotiation table. So it's like, hey, I want to go on a socially distanced date for coffee. Are you up for it? Sure, I'll let you know. Let me know. Goodbye. You've made your pitch, and they have to be there to throw the ball back. And it's like,
I love that.
So I think a lot of people chase after the hope of good instead of looking at the realism of the bad, and that's hard to do. So I think it's a lot of the times with dating, like the problem with men, and this isn't to like hate on my own, but men love options. Men love options. Women love labels. Women love having their guy. So it's a very, those are two opposing forces. Men will tell you, and the same way a guy's trying to have sex with you is the same way he's going to try and pursue you for marriage. That's very confusing. I can understand that. So I think I'm not trying to say like, I'm not trying to apologize for men, but I'm not going to fix, you know, I can maybe teach my son better, but I'm not going to fix the society. Yeah. I'm just telling you it's raining and it's time to bring in an umbrella.
It's so true. And I think you really hit on something about relationships. It's also about your confidence level. Like, I love when you're like, goodbye. It's like, it's true. When you can get to a place where you really know what you want and you're willing to kind of say goodbye to that person, you know, and be okay either way, I feel like that's when you find your person. Like, that's a powerful place to be.
It's perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the thing you hear all the time is, there's too many options. That's why dating sucks in 2021. There's too many options. I would argue that the amount of options is great, because the person that's not really fitting your shoe, the one that's not really the butt that's not right for your seat, there's another person out there that is, and you have the ability to find it. Your grandpa had to date three women that was on his block and then had to choose from the three, or else he was in his one-room bedroom apartment with his cat.
Yeah.
That's not today. You can say goodbye to people because there's a whole new group of people that are willing and able and ready to meet you, and that person's out there for you. And I think if you kind of switch the perspective of like, I'm just not going to deal with bullshit. What happens a lot is a lot of people are like, and I'm not going to deal with bullshit, while they're literally climbing through the person's bullshit. You don't have to teach anyone. That's not your responsibility. Goodbye. That's all you got to say.
Goodbye.
And listen, sometimes they come back and you have to go, and that's your choice if you want to take them back. But like, again, keep asking for the needs you have.
Okay, guys, one more commercial I need to tell you about, and that's my Patreon. Are you a member? Are you part of the Patreon champagne, the Champs family? Also, you're going to want to become a member of my Patreon family. Patreon.com/The Sarah Fraser Show. I have just dropped a 7-part series. It's kind of slowly coming out every single month, an episode, but 3 of the episodes are up, of my mindful eating journey. And I'm accompanied by my longtime mindful eating therapist, Robin Mize. It's just $5 a month. Or to ensure that you get every single episode of the 7-part series, you can make a $50 contribution. Patreon.com/The Sarah Fraser Show. I love talking about just taking care of your health and your wellness and celebrating and loving your body. You guys know for years I hated myself. I dieted from the age of 12 to 27, 28. And in that time period, I gained and lost 150 pounds and probably spent $20,000 on diet books, diets, gyms, trainers, all kinds of things that never worked and quite honestly made me feel like shit. So how did I get out of that cycle? Well, I reveal all, and I get to sit down with my mindful eating therapist. There's so many exercises that are going to be posted too on the Patreon, so you'll be getting it all. Patreon.com/The Sarah Fraser Show, just $5 per month. And okay, so you're now though in a fairly serious relationship, right?
Yeah, we live together, and we've been together like almost 3 years.
So how has that shaped your dating advice that you give now to your audience? Like, are you softer about it, more understanding? Are you more certain about how, like, a successful relationship works? Because, see, people...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go.
It's definitely made me... It's made me understand fully that, like, how easy it is to give advice on other people's problems. When it's your problem,
Right. It's
so much more difficult. There's so much more stuff going on when it's yours. So, again, I'm really good at all the dating stuff. I know how to do a first date. I know how to impress someone on a first date. I know how to look good on a first date. I know how to be a good third date. I know when I'm backing away for the third date because I'm not that into it, but I'm still attracted to them. So I have to let them know that I probably shouldn't go on this third date. You know, like, I know those beats. I think for relationships, it's way more difficult. It's way more personal. And it's, and there's so much I don't know. And why I never call myself an expert. Like, you know, we're all an expert until it's our own emotions, until it's someone you love looking you in the eye. You know, it's very different.
All right, I have a question for you. I was telling you this before we came on, when I was emailing you. how do I make my husband a good gift giver? Because Jared, he bought me this watch. And
that's
it
a
is
a nice watch.
Oh my God. Okay, you can't see it up close. That's why it's not.
How long have you been married?
We've been married 1.5 years. We've been together 8 years. He's a great husband. So everything is great, but I cannot get him to like buy good gifts. I don't know. Maybe I need to send the link because maybe I'm too vague. Because I say to him, you know, I don't know. You know, I just, because he knows I like nice things, right? So I'm assuming he'll go in the closet and he'll look and she'll go, and he'll go, oh, you know, she kind of likes these Kate Spade novelty clutches or a Louis Vuitton. And he never comes to that conclusion. He goes to QVC and he orders something.
Well, what's most, I think like anytime someone asks me a question about the relationship, I come back to them with another question that like, you got to look in the mirror a little bit with all these questions. So
I'm fine with that. I know I'm the problem.
I can't tell you that watch is good or bad. I don't know. You said, look at the watch. How could you not know? I don't know. So let's assume that he's at least 10% away from me. He's got no clue what you want. He's not going to your closet and knowing what to get you. I would make a decision. What's more important to you? That he gives you a gift or that he gives you the right gift?
Ooh.
Like, I think because I have this issue with my mom. My mom has everything in the world and still wants everything. So like when Mother's Day comes along, when her birthday comes along, she's the hardest person to buy a gift for because I'm like, I know she's going to hate something. My dad, we get great gifts for because we know he loves the ingenuity. He loves the spirit with which the gift came. Mm. If you want a nice thing, then you should just go buy yourself a nice thing. If you want, I would say, because at this point, you're asking for something he can never, him to climb a mountain he can never climb, which makes him give up on climbing it. So then he just goes on QVC and he just orders the first thing that looks nice or like matches your jacket. So like to me, like my dad, we do food of the month clubs. My dad, like if I got my mom a food of the month club, she'd be like, what the fuck is this? You don't care about me? I don't connect. But my dad doesn't connect the care of the gift with the care for the person. You're saying, look at this ugly watch. How does he not know me? It's like, how the fuck would he know you? He doesn't know shit.
Well, here's the thing. I haven't told him that I dislike it. I'm trying to wear it to see if I will like, because I've returned like the past 3 gifts that he's given me. And I'm like, I'm with you, right? If I keep doing this, he's going to be like, this ungrateful bitch. Like, I can't win with her, you know? Well, so I'm trying to wear it and like it, but I'm struggling. And then I'm like, should I just tell him?
It turns into resent. It turns into a year from now, you'll be divorced. Listen. You got to tell him this. I love the thought. And I, again, like Jordana on You Up is my co-host, Jordana Abraham. And she's fantastic. But she's like, I am a huge card person. She's like and she always talks about how like her boyfriend at first didn't get her a card and it really upset her. Telling someone, hey, I want a card. The only thing I want is cards. Just make sure the card is right. I'll buy what I need on my own. Like, or I'll tell you like, here's how much it costs. Like at that point, let's stop the rigmarole. Like now he can do the sweetness with the card, sweetness with a date. And you can say, and I'm buying this. This is your birthday gift. Like now you can get the effort you want with the gift you want.
I love it. Jared, you're amazing. I can't wait to watch your YouTube special March 2nd, right? 9 p.m.?
It comes out March 2nd, 9 p.m., but it's going to stay on YouTube. That's the premiere date. If you enjoyed it, all I ask, comment, like. I'm putting it out for free. I invested my own money. I invested myself in putting out this special. I really feel like I'm taking a nice chance here during a pandemic, and I want people to make a night of it, put it on the big screen, airplay it to your, you know, whatever you do. And if you enjoyed it, let me know, because YouTube is a horrible hellscape where people are mean for no reason. So I would rather hear from the nice people and just comment and like and tell a friend about it. And it's youtube.com/JaredFreed. And that's where it's going to be. And it's going to be all over my social media as well.
God, you're so right about YouTube. It's a shithole. We're TikTok. Yeah. You know, if you comment anything negative, everybody comes at you. Whereas YouTube, you can't get a polite. You can't get anyone to say anything nice.
at least TikTok is funny. Like, I go to TikTok for the comments more than the videos sometimes. And yes, it's like, at least they took a chance at a joke. Like, good. But, like, it feels like YouTube people just come there to, like, tear people down. So, and but also, you know, I'm putting this out for free. My goal is for it to get a million hits and so that of these networks that don't talk to me know who I am. So I want to ride that algorithm wave. I want to be surfing the algorithms. And the only way to do that is for you to share, like, comment, and do that.
Jesus, if these networks won't get back to you at hundreds of thousands of followers, I'm fucked. I guess I'm going to OnlyFans. All right. This is final. It's final. You have the J Train podcast. New episodes come out every week. You Up podcast with our girls from Betches, who are awesome, and Jordana. And then you do the Rose Rehash every Monday night after The Bachelor. You've got a million. I love it. You've got all these shows. You've got a great hustle.
I don't stop because nobody asked me to do this, so I have to keep going myself. So,
great, it's great.
But thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
Jared, you're awesome. Thank you so much.